Continue with our Bible study. Take our Bible study, okay? We are in the season of the baptism of the Holy Ghost in Bride Assembly. We're in expectation. Praise God. I am in expectation. Because, like I always say, that is number one reason why Jesus Christ went to the cross on Calvary. That's number one reason, the first reason why he went to the cross, why he suffered all that humiliation. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Some young brothers were sharing with me from the youth in the afternoon, so yesterday, they said, you know, just before then, a pastor told me last 2 weeks, he said, after he listened to my explanation of what salvation is, he's a pastor, he's a preacher. He made a statement in my office. He said, he turned and looked at his second that were in my office. He said that we have presented salvation wrongly to the people. He said, we have presented salvation wrongly to the people. And that is a serious confession by a pastor. Because it is true. Salvation has been wrongly taught. He said, we have taught the people wrong. And what we try to do here is to correct all the wrong. Amen. That is what this church is raised for. It is the restored ministry. We are part of the restoration move of God. Hallelujah. And when we say restored, we are not restoring you to a church. You were not in Bride Assembly before you were lost. It was the Bible that you fell away from. We are restoring you back to Bible Christianity. The Bible faith. Apostle Paul said, examine yourself if you be in the faith. Hallelujah. Examine yourself if you are still in the faith. And to confirm what that pastor said, this young man were, they cornered me here in the church in the afternoon on yesterday, and they were saying something that he traveled to the east, our youth leader, he traveled to the east and he met a woman who heard him sharing the gospel in the light of the present truth. And then he told him, he said that he had three daughters. And those daughters, because the husband and the wife, that is their mother and their father, they believed that a woman should not put a hole in the ear nor wear earring. They said it was not a church doctrine, but they were born again, they were Christians, according to them. But they felt, himself and his wife, one day reason it out, these are our daughters, should we put a hole in their ear? And they discovered that they thought it was not proper to do it. Because if God wanted their daughters to have a hole in the ear, he would have born them with holes in the ear. But that's not where I'm going. Praise God. So the daughters grew up without earrings, without hole in their ear. But when they grew up, by the time they got to the university, they now jammed another gospel. And they came back home. They came back home. They went, they bore holes in their ear, hung earrings there, and came home and told their mother, "Mama, all these people have been believing, you have believed it wrongly." You see, we are no more in the Old Testament. We are now in the time of grace. And because we're in the time of grace, we don't have to live by any do's and don'ts anymore. They had another gospel. They had another gospel different from what their mother and their father taught them. Well, and the young minister was confused. He didn't know what to answer them, and I quickly told them what I want to tell you now. I said, those three girls that were speaking about grace, that we are now in the grace age, but, and we don't have to live by any do's and don'ts, I said, they are correct. The truth is, we are now in the grace age. We are not in the law age. In grace, you don't live by a man carrying a stick and saying, "You must not wear a ring. You must not wear trousers. You must not steal. You must not kill. You must not do this. You must not do that. You must not fornicate." No, that is not grace. That is law. But I said, but the meaning of grace, they don't know it. They are correct. We are now in the period of grace. But how many people know what is grace? Not too many people know what is grace. Now, what is the difference between grace and the law? In a summary, the law, we are a set of rules of do's and don'ts. Apostle Paul explained what that achieved in the life of a man. It only made you to know your inadequacies. It only made you to know the meaning of sin. Because before the law, there was no knowledge of sin. And God did it so that every man will know that you are guilty before God. Because no man had the ability to keep those laws. There's nothing inside of you that can make you live a life pleasing before God. No man. And God did it like that so that man will appreciate grace. Man needed grace. Only grace could help us out of the judgment that was before every one of us as a result of our sins. And what did he do? He brought grace. What is grace? Grace. Church, listen. Before you say this is grace, listen. Grace is now God coming to pick a man or a woman and then come and then dwell inside that man or woman and then cause you now to have the power now to live a life that is pleasing before him. Not by your own power, but by his own indwelling power. That is the meaning of grace. That's in the summary of the meaning of grace. Not too many people know the impact of what I am saying. You see? And that is where we have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Baptism of the Holy Ghost is grace in manifestation. Grace, I repeat, statements like Philippians chapter 2 verse 13, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." Praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 31 he called it, he said, "A new covenant will I establish with my people." What is that new covenant? He will put his law in their hearts and cause them, hallelujah, to live a life pleasing before him. So now watch it. For those who say they are now in grace. Remember, I emphasize, for emphasis, I repeat, that grace is the ability of a man or a woman to live a life pleasing before God. Not by your power, not by your effort, but it is God himself doing it. He coming into you and giving you the ability, the enablement to keep his laws by his own power, not by your own power. If a man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Apostle Paul summed it up this way. He said, the life that I live now is not I that liveth, but who? But Christ that liveth in me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, I want you to understand this. There are people that are claiming to be part of grace when they have not even smelled the grace. So many people think you are part of grace because you are speaking in tongue. That is not the meaning of grace. So many people think you are part of grace. Hallelujah. You are part of grace because you are now a church worker. You are now a regular church member. You are a contributing church member. It's more than that, church. More than that. Now, this is it. Two sisters, supposedly going to the same church. Supposedly, they are all born again. But God will come to one and tell that one. The two of them are all speaking in tongue. The two of them are all fall under anointing. When they say receive Holy Ghost. But now the Holy Ghost, now God will come and speak to one of them. My daughter, don't wear earring. Don't wear trouser. And there are people in this church, even outside this church, those who have never come here, wherever they are, they will hear God tell them, don't wear this thing. But another one, he is not whether for dream himself, he has never had it. Now, one, they are all going to the same church, but one has been told by God to drop it. The other one did not receive such communication. Now, it tells you logically that the two of them have two different relationships with God. That's what it means. The two of them have two different relationships with God. The relationship he has with you determines how he will deal with you. Your neighbor's picking the thief. And now your neighbor, you go call and say, come here. Why are you the thief? Piam, Gokena, will you do that? Eh? You will just turn, look, say, this is my neighbor picking thief. Oh, thief. Oh. If you try to go and correct, you may be in trouble. But let your own picking now try, even work out with him. You just see and they work out with thief. By the time you come home, the cane you go preserve for him. Cane him. Why you cane this one and you not cane your neighbor own? Because this one, now you're picking. That one, now your neighbor picking. Not be your picking. Praise God. Oh! Which kind of thing is this? I know this girl to be a prostitute. See the kind of girl she's carrying on men, she's carrying up and down. See, now me invite her to come bride, so that she'll be converted. Immediately morning she come, bam, she don't receive her testimony. She don't get husband. She don't go, God, what did I do you? Up till now, I still there here. Up till now, what did I do you? Upon all the sacrifice, I talk, I swore, since the day I gave my life to Christ, that I will not open my life for any man, and I have kept it. I belong to four prayer groups in Bride Assembly. I know how many people I want to Christ. I know all the sacrifice. All the sacrifice. Which kind God will serve, sir? It's because you don't know your father. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The Bible says, if your enemy is hungry, what should you do? Do you understand what I'm telling you? Do you understand what I'm telling you? If your enemy is thirsty, what should you do? So, if enemy of God come say they find husband and he can't cry to God, what will God do for that person? He go answer and give a husband, church, and make it go. He said, in so doing, what do you do to that person? You heap coals of fire upon that person. That is the mystery about the God we serve that people don't know. If you refuse to repent of your evil, you are disgracing God anywhere you go, disgracing the name of the Lord, with impunity, without any nothing disturbing your conscience, and you are in trouble, and you cry to God, and he answer you, he is just giving you reason why you will enter the deepest part of hellfire and you don't know it, and that is deceiving you. After you receive what you want to receive, you go, you wait again till the next time trouble come. He say, where that your bride she the sit there in church and say, anytime I have problem, if I go there, God will answer me. You go wrong, come, and as soon as you go, before you sit down, one prophet will pick you up, bless you, so that you go and leave us alone. But the real child of God, praise the Lord, hallelujah. No, when you come here, amen, he will root you first. He will carry sponge. He will carry the water of the word. And then he will begin to clean you up, wash you, clean you, remove everything, perfect you, because the plan he has for you is different from what he has for them who are outside. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Not too many people know this. Praise the Lord. So you understand what is the meaning of grace now. So that you will know whether you are part of grace or not. Today we want to just look very briefly, if we have time. We want to look at the destiny of a Christian. That's what we want to look at. The destiny of a Christian. The destiny. Destiny is from the word destination. Destiny is from the word destination. That is where you are heading for. Where the whole matter is to be concluded. When you take off a journey and you begin to walk, you go out, and maybe you are going home, somebody will ask you, where is your destination? You will say, my destination is Victoria Island. My destination is Oshodi. That is your destination. And so, when you say, what is your destiny? That is what you are supposed to achieve in life. And every human being has a destiny. Every human being has a destiny. Praise the Lord. Christians too have their own destiny. Christians have their destiny. Praise the Lord. And we see it because not too many people too have bothered to find out, me as a Christian, what is my destiny. So many of us, what is your destiny? All you are looking at is, my destiny is to go to heaven. That's it. My destiny is to go to heaven. Yes? To an extent, you are correct. To an extent, you are correct. But that is not what the Bible says is our destiny. Some people believe that your destiny is to become a millionaire. Your destiny is to make money. Your destiny is, you know, everybody to become a professor. Some people's destiny is to marry 5 wives. That's all they are planning their life is for. You see? And depending on the revelation of your pastor, and not just your pastor, but all ministers, all pastors, depending on what they understand to be the destiny of a Christian. That is where they emphasize their messages. That's where they emphasize their sermons. See? The way they speak about prosperity, how God has called them to raise millionaires, they present it as if the risen Christ went to the cross on Calvary so that Christians will become millionaires, or so that people in the world will become millionaires. But that is wrong. That's wrong. Romans chapter 8 tells us what our destiny is. Romans You're coming and listening to us for the first time in Brother Assembly. You are welcome. Very, very welcome. Hallelujah. I'm reading one verse. It's a popular verse in this church because that verse answers a lot of questions for salvation. Verse 28 and verse 29. If you are there, I read Romans chapter 8, verse 28 and verse 29. That scripture says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." 29. So that we pick our text from there. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. What is the destiny? To be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. What is your destiny according to Apostle Paul? Our destiny is to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. I don't know how many people will understand my English today. This thing is something that has sunk deep into my spirit. This is what guides my Christian faith. And it is a revelation that every Christian needs to catch. You see? It's a revelation that every Christian needs to catch. That we are destined to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. That is the destiny of every Christian. Your destiny is not to marry a rich man. Your destiny is not to be a billionaire. It's more than that. Your destiny is, and remember, everybody's destiny is shaped by God himself. I know scientists, philosophers will not agree with this statement because they believe that you can chart your destiny. They will argue it out with a lot of rhetorics and big grammar. and let you know that you are you can decide what you want to be, how you want to end up. You can decide. Now those are people, those are philosophers, not Christians. Why do I say so? The Bible says that every man shall give account of himself before God. If you are going to give an account of yourself, it means there's going to be a judgment. And before there can be a judgment, there is an expectation you were supposed to fulfill. Somebody sent you to earth here. None of us came to earth by accident. I hope we understand that. Our Maker sent us to earth here for a purpose. That purpose, praise the Lord, is what we call destiny. Church, your mama and your papa did not give birth to you by accident. Even if they tell you stories, say we didn't want you. Now play, we just they play. Now in the thing enter, your own pregnancy took, it was sorrow for us. It's sorrow for you, but God designed you to be here. Hallelujah. People don't understand the meaning of life. And that's why they end up perverting everything that God has created. Because they don't understand God's purpose in life. See? We came from somewhere. Amen. We did not come out of nothing. No. We came from somewhere. Hallelujah. We came from somewhere. A sister was giving me her testimony earlier today. She said she felt seriously sick. God had been wanting to use her, but she was refusing. And then she was now going to die. She saw herself going somewhere. She had fainted. People were looking at her. They knew. They thought she was gone, and she was going. And then she saw herself somewhere. She was asking, "Where am I?" He said, a voice spoke to her. "Since you say you will not work for me, I have decided to call you home." Now, I'm borrowing that language. He said, "I decided to call you home." He said, "But if you are ready to work for me, then you can go back." Then she said, "You mean I'm dead?" He said, "Of course. Now die, you die. So if..." Amen. So she said, "No, I don't want to die now." He said, "Then you have the option of either dying or working for me." And she said, "No, I will work for you." Then he said, "Then you can go back." But the emphasis there is that he said, "I will call you home." So that you understand why the songwriter says, "This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beck on me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That songwriter, that song was written by serious inspiration. Christians, he said, we are ambassadors here for Christ. We are ambassadors here. We are in this world, but not of this world. The reason is we came from somewhere. Another songwriter says, "My home is beyond the sky. My home is beyond the sky. I am a stranger here. My home is beyond the sky." Hallelujah. Those are people who are revelated. And I want somebody here to catch that revelation. I'm saying this thing so that you will understand why this program we are holding, this tune, Baptism of the Holy Ghost, why we attach so much importance to it. That is the highest program in this ministry. Because Chowas Week. Chowas Week. A brother told me a statement. What's your name? Igwe. Where is Igwe? Igwe, come. The voice that spoke to you spoke something about holiness and prosperity. A voice spoke to him. Give him a microphone. Say it the way you had it. You are sharing that with me. Prophecy will do something.
Okay, he said prophecy will give you clothes. Holiness will give you everything.
Hey! He said he was sitting down meditating and the voice spoke. Prophecy will give you clothes. But the holiness will give you everything. Ha! That was a powerful sermon to you, brother. You see? Yes! Chowas Week will give you money in your account. We want money, or we like money. Praise the Lord. We like money, or for this church, we do like money, or we like money. For this church, we do like money, oh. So then because of money, they drive some people come up for this church. Money, we like money, well, for this church, oh. Praise the Lord. But money will only clothe you and feed you in the morning, in the evening, you go to the toilet. The next day again, look for food, eat again. You see? Praise the Lord. So all the programs, your family deliverance gives you peace on earth, but your family deliverance cannot take you to heaven. We have Prosperity Week here, and it's a very serious week. We're having it in August. Yes. Where you see chains broken, chains of poverty. Yes, now, very powerful program. Praise the Lord. But it will not take you to heaven. That is why we say, of all the programs we hold here, the highest one is the one we are holding in the month of June. Because that is the only program we have that will take you to heaven. That's the emphasis. And every human being wants to go to heaven. Everybody wants to go to heaven. But they have two problems disturbing them. One is ignorance of how to go to that heaven. It's true. Ignorance of how to get to that heaven. And the second one that is disturbing them is their sinful nature. But all this ignorance and the sinful nature will be dealt with this June in this church in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes. Your destiny, according to the Bible, is to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And he said it, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. In the family of God, the Father, Jesus Christ is our elder brother. Hallelujah. Now, those of you from other intermessage churches, understand what I say. Understand my language. Because some of them hate to hear that terminology, that Jesus is our elder brother. Now, you must understand what I'm saying. The Bible, I'm telling you what the Bible says. He says, let's read it again. Let's read it so that you won't say you went to brother assembly. They say Jesus is elder brother. He said, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. Who is his son? Shout the name of his son.
Jesus.
Thank you. That he, this he here is Jesus, might be the firstborn among many brethren. If all you are all brothers and the firstborn, who do you refer to as your firstborn? Who do you call him? It's your senior brother. It's our elder brother. In the kingdom of God, with God the Father, Jesus Christ is the first, the Bible call him the first begotten of the Father. The Bible call him the first begotten from the dead. The first begotten from the dead. Because the day that you eat of that fruit, he said, that day ye shall die. Adam and all of us died that day. All the children of God died. And that's why Jesus Christ too came and they killed him so that he too will die. But when it was time for God to bring everyone back from the dead, he was the first that came out from the dead. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The rest of us at the last trump. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Hallelujah. It tells us that he will come with a shout, verse 16, and the voice of an archangel and the trump of God. And then verse 17 says, and the dead in Christ, hallelujah, shall rise first. But they will rise after our elder brother has risen. How glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. So you have to understand, we are all condemned to death. All Adamic race condemned to death. And Jesus Christ, God used him. He first went ahead of us and defeated the power of death. He defeated the power of the grave. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He is the first Son of God. The first begotten. And all other children of God, that Jesus became the standard of everyone else. I want you to understand, that is our destiny. That is our destiny. He became the first and he became the standard. And every one of us, we are supposed to line up and conform to that image of Jesus Christ. Anything less, you can't be a son of God. Anything more, you can't be a son of God. Anything less, you can't be a son of God. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Even naturally. Mama and Papa will bump Pekin. The Pekin must resemble at least one of them. There must be something to show. Say, physically, when you look at it, say, oh, not true. Now I'm not Pekin with this. It's true. Hallelujah. If it is not physical, then there will be some character. Either the way they work, not like the Papa. There must be something. If not, the father will ask the mother. Excuse me, ma. You sure this Pekin? I mean, any woman will bump Pekin finish. And the Pekin, they go thief. The papa no be thief. You know, the man will call the woman and say, come, let's confess. Honey, confess. You sure say this Pekin not my Pekin? I know the thief. How intend the thief? No, it's true. Something is wrong somewhere. Praise the Lord. You heard the story of that American man. Oyibo, husband Oyibo, wife Oyibo. The Oyibo woman go born finish, complete black boy. Praise the Lord. It was twins. Yeah, he born twins. One Oyibo, one black. That is the story that William Branham used to establish the doctrine of the serpent seed. Serpent put his own there. Adam put his own there. Two children were born. How do you know which one be Adam, which one be serpent? By their fruits you shall know them. Praise God. Hallelujah. Though you born man, say, honey. He said, I don't have any lineage black anywhere. None of my ancestors was black. You too, none of your ancestors was ever black. Please, where did you get this black something from? And the woman confessed. The woman confessed that same day she was in her ovulation. When she had a they call a nigger, black boyfriend, a negro, whatever you call it, black man, a black man. And the man, he said the man slept with her that day. And when she came home to her husband, the husband also slept with her that same day, about 4 hours difference. And so this one drop it home. This one too, drop it home. But you are to bring forth after your kind. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Genesis chapter 1 verse 26. God said, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness. Amen. Now, this image is not nozo, not sharp nose, wide mouth, long leg, gorilla head, coconut head, monkey nose, monkey eye. You know, there's some human beings that look like monkey. That is not the image he's talking about, oh. What is the image of God? None of us knew what the image of God was until Jesus Christ was born. And Apostle Paul, in Colossians chapter 1 verse 15, he described Jesus Christ as the image of the invisible God. Then it lets you understand what is the meaning of the image. Does it mean that God is Oyibo? God is not Oyibo. God is not a Jew. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God. He said, if you see me, you see my Father. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. He said, if you see me, you see my Father. My Father and I are one. He said, why are you telling me I should show you my Father again? Can't you see me? Blessed be the name of the Lord. He said, have I been so long with you, Philip, and you don't know me? In John chapter 14. Have I not told you that if you see me, you see the Father? Why are you telling me I should show you the Father again? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He was the image of the invisible God. He said, the firstborn of every creature. That's what Colossians 1:15 says. So, if it's the image of the invisible God, what does that mean? Praise the Lord. In that same John 14, he says, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, no man cometh to the Father except by me. I want you to understand that statement today. I want you to understand that statement today. He said, I am the way. I am the life. I am the truth. So it means to know the image of God is defined on the way, the life, and the truth. That is the image of God. Why did he say, I am the way? The way here is speaking about character. Character. If you want to know how to move with God and how to, you know, move with fellow human beings, Jesus is the way. Is the way. That is character. That is character. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And every Christian That is what guides you. Anytime you see a naked woman going, brother, and your body charge, what should come to your mind is, if Jesus Christ see this naked woman, how will he behave? He is the way. Character. They slapped him. They beat him. They kicked him. But he didn't open his mouth. Despite all the anointing he had. That is the way to react. When your enemy faces you. Even when the father forsook him, he didn't say a word against the father. He cried, my father, why have thou forsaken me? That was the best he could go. You see? He saw what he was going to go through. The pains that he was going to go through. At the Garden of Gethsemane. The anguish he was going through, knowing the pains that was ahead of him. He cried, my father, he said, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. That is the way. That is the way. That is the way. That is the way. No matter what difficulty you are going through, if you pray the type of prayer you pray, so the sweat was coming out. It was not water, but blood coming through his veins. None of you suffering anything has prayed prayer up to that level. The worst you did was you went and did dry fasting. When the thing reached 3 days, you say, nah, this is if you keep me, go chop. None of you has reached that level. The anguish, your suffering, your anguish has not reached that level. But Jesus Christ, in that painful state, this is how you would have wished it to be. But he said, not my will, but your will, Lord, be done. It means Jesus had his own will, the Father has his own will, but he was able to subject his will to the Father's will. That is the way. That's the way. Praise the Lord. That is the way. I'm looking at the image of God. That is the way. We are to be conformed to the image of Christ. And Christ is the image of God. After his likeness. Genesis 1:26. In our image and in our likeness. And Jesus is the image of the invisible God. We, every Christian, we are supposed to be the image of invisible Christ. We are the ones now that are supposed to show the whole world how Jesus looks like, because now he's a spirit. So the only way they can know who he is for us to act the way he acts. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. That is the way. What is the truth? Jesus Christ is the truth. Why? Because he was the word. Jesus Christ, hallelujah. He said, thy word is truth. In John 17. He said, thy word, God's word is truth. And Jesus Christ never lied. The ability for you to speak the truth, to walk in the truth, to preach the truth, to act the truth, not hypocrisy. That is how every Christian is supposed to be known by. We are supposed to be known by the truth. Anytime they are looking for truth anywhere, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Anywhere they are looking for truth, they should be looking for Christians. Where are they? Come and tell us what happened. They know you will say the truth. He is the truth. Why is he the truth? He has the word of God. He had thus said the Lord. That's why he is the truth. Everything that proceeded from out of his mouth, you can bank on it. It will never fail. He is the truth. And he is the life. Why is he the life? Because he's a life giver. Except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. How did it happen? He offered himself a living sacrifice. He offered himself a sacrifice for you to have life. Every Christian, anybody that comes around you, all of us were supposed to live a life of denial for the betterment of our neighbor. Every one of us. Therefore, if somebody is in need, you don't give out of abundance. You give including inconveniencing yourself to make that person's life worthwhile. Except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, which was offered on the cross on Calvary as a ransom for many. That's what the Bible says. That is, we had a debt to be paid. We couldn't pay that debt. And Jesus had no other means of paying for that debt. He offered himself as the price. So that we can have life. And have it more abundantly. Abundantly. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Then he added in that verse 6. He said, no man cometh to the Father except by me. That statement, it simply means, before you can get to the creator of the heavens and the earth, all that I've enumerated, you must be like Jesus in the way you live your life. In the way you speak the truth and react to the truth. And in your ability to live a life of sacrifice. Unless it is so, you can never get there. You can never get there. You can never get there. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hey, somebody is looking at me, one guy. Praise God. You know, there are some scriptures in the Bible that you have never taken time to dissect. And yet you say it every time. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So, I'm born again. Just say it. Romans chapter 10, say with your mouth, believe in your heart. That's all, you are saved. Okay, I believe in my heart. So let me say it now. I'm born again. So I'm born again. That's all. I'm born again. No. Sit down and dissect that statement. You will soon discover that you are not born nothing. Nothing. No relationship at all with the Holy Ghost before he can pregnant you and born you. Praise God. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. See what Jesus Christ went through to get you and I reconciled to the Father. Every Christian must also adopt the same thing to go out in evangelism. Go out in searching for the true children of God and bring them in also. Everybody just selfish, 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 selfish. You are here living in Lagos. You heard the truth. The next thing that comes to your mind, hey, you will remember your brother and sister in the village that is a Catholic, is going to Catholic. Your neighbor, you will not talk to them. You are busy, phony. Come, oh, we get program in June. Brother, come, oh, sister, come, oh, come, oh. But you have not told the person you are living with. Selfish spirit. Now, so she go, come, go. Nothing will happen. You're wasting your time. A life of selfishness can never prosper in the kingdom. Just me. I, me. Me. You have no single testimony of a sacrifice you have offered to make the life of somebody better. You are not yet a Christian. You will never see God like that. You can never get to God the Father. That's the reason Christians live life of up and down. Up and down. Up today, down tomorrow. Up today, down tomorrow. Night vigil today, mountain tomorrow. What will happen? I must possess my possession. But the Bible says, if a man's ways pleases the Lord, he maketh it to be at peace even with his neighbors. Why are you at war with your neighbor? Is the Bible wrong? If that is correct, then stop going to the mountain. Look at your neighbors and begin to make peace with everybody. How will you make peace with everybody? Go back to God. Father, is there anything I'm doing that is not pleasing before you? See? You say, I pray the time I pray before I marry this woman. I know how I pray. God show me that that is my wife. But now, after this marriage, I don't understand. Was it? I mean, a devil show me that time. No, the devil show you. No. Now God give you. Because the physical marriage is a type of the spiritual marriage. And with God, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. There is a law with God. As you would that men should do to you, so do you also unto men. Simple. Simple. See, the God of Israel is still doing do me and do you. Hey, the God of Israel, see they do amo, you do me and do you. How can I go? Thank you. The God of Israel is do me, I do you. I am married to you. You are not faithful to me. God will make your wife not to be faithful to you. Any man, a Christian, you are not at peace with your wife at home. Stop calling her devil. Now you be the devil. Leave that woman alone and go back to God. Father, what are they do when they offend you? Show me now, from now on, I'll pay my tithe. From now on, I will go out for evangelism. From now on, that vow where I make that, I go pay. Papa, no vex. I go pay. I know the Papa thing. I know. It was frustration now, Papa, that made me to drink that beer that day. I know how they drink. I don't know, you take her so serious like this. See, now my wife, I don't feel sleep for house again. I'm not saying that you didn't push that woman, make you do me this kind of thing. Papa, settle with me now. Settle with me. If you don't settle with me, oh, I know. If I go back, that woman go finish me for house. That's the prayer you must pray. And if you come with a true heart, you will find peace without even hearing any voice. I should enter that house. Coming home. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Every time you enter a house, you think you want to scare the woman. Immediately you enter, boom face. You're welcome. What happened? And the woman, anytime your husband enter a house, nothing happened with a friend like that, it do something. It do something. See. I be husband. I am married. I know the thing what they do. Maybe you go hug one girl. Her perfume still there in your body. You are trying to reach home so that you will change her before your wife will come close. So you want to make sure she doesn't come close to you before you change up. As soon as you enter, hey, honey, say, I beg, excuse me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's true now. Hallelujah. Look. Don't think. My wife come. My wife come. Make her take time. Praise the Lord. Since yesterday morning, I left house. Since Thursday, I left the house. So, I forgot to call her. Till this evening, she can't call me. She called me very angry. You should say, now, church, you go, when you don't call me, and I say, hey. Amen. Don't think that she's too old to hear some things. I say, oh, my honey, my jewel of inestimable value, the apple of my eyes. Oh, the only woman I have ever known on earth. Oh, oh. So she couldn't help, she burst out laughing. Hey, you want me to laugh? I know you want me to laugh, that's why. I say, I don't catch him, I don't get up. I don't get up. Case closed. Praise the Lord. See, if my wife is angry with me, I stand here, God will be angry with me. Many of you don't know it. You are a businessman. You are going out in the morning for your business. And you leave your wife at home angry. Hey, you are finished. As you go, and so you go come. Ha, women. I not be witch, she be. She's not a witch. She didn't even design it that way. She doesn't even know she has such power. But I am telling you now that God caused me to know by his inspiration. That any time you leave that woman angry at home, there is a spirit that follows you, scattering spirit. But if that woman is happy, so tell he escort you, open car, kiss you, say, honey, go. We'll be waiting to go come. Hey, door will be open. Anywhere they go, door will be open. Praise the Lord. Anyway, we're not talking about marriage and divorce. I have so many things to talk about marriage. Oh. 23 years, not be small years. I am 23 years old, married. Full of experience. So many things to tell you. Till that time comes. I think in October we will talk that once. Once every year we will undo the consecrate marriages. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But for now, I just want you to note that this, the one of the reasons your life is up and down is because, you know, all these enemies up and down, you sleep, they come and press your neck. When the Bible says he giveth his beloved sweet sleep, your own, you sleep with only one eye closed. And you say you're a Christian. And you think you want to show that you're a Christian by jumping up. Holy Ghost fire! Holy Ghost fire! Holy Ghost fire! You are shouting Holy Ghost fire, but another brother is sleeping cooler in his house, serving the same God with you. Hallelujah. Okay, make another grace that side. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The destiny of a Christian